नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यैनं विसृजे धर्मं परंपर्यागतं नरः कामात् द्वेषात् भयात् लोभात् स वै नाप्नोति शोभनम्। यैनं विसृजे धर्मम् यैनं विसृजे धर्मम् परंपर्यागतं नरः कामाद्वेषाद् भयालोभात् सवै नाप्नोति शोभनम्। यैनं विसृजे धर्मम् परंपर्यागतं नरः कामाद्वेषाद्भयालोभात् सवै नाप्नोति शोभनम्। यैनं विसृजे धर्मम् परंपर्यागतं नरः कामाद्वेषाद्भयालोभात् स वै नाप्नोति शोभनम्। धर्मम् परंपर्यागतं नरः कामाद्वेषाद्भयालोभात् सवै नाप्नोति शोभनम्। माताजी परंपर्यागतं नरः कामाद्वेषात् भयालोभात् सवै नाप्नोति शोभनम्। यः Anyone who, enam, this, visrijet, rejects, dharmam, the religious principle, paramparya, from traditional authority, agatam, received, naraha, a person, kama, because of lust, Dveshat, because of enmity. Bhayat, because of fear. Lobhat, or because of greed. Saha, he. Vai, certainly. Naapnoti, cannot achieve. Shobhanam, auspiciousness. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: this religious principle is based on sound tradition. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fall to achieve good fortune. Purport: if a person neglects his religious duties because of lust, envy, fear, or greed, his life will never be brilliant or perfect. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim Yad kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Paramananda Madhavam Sarvasashtrabdhi Piyushah Sarvavaidaikasatphala Sarvasiddhantaratanadhyā Sarvalokaikadrikpada Sarvabhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dhvanto Ditaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pathaya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishna Yanamostute Madega Bandho Matsangi Mangoro Manmahadhana Madanistaraga Madabhagya Madanando Namostute Asadu Sadu Tadayin Ati Nichichotaraka Hana Munchakadachinmam Premna Ritakanthayo Spura Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from the Canto 10, Chapter 24, entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill, Text Number 11. Once more I'll read the translation. This religious principle is based on sound tradition. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. Hare Krishna. So, before beginning to speak on this exalted topic, I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something in the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam and Lord Shri Krishna. Here, as we read this verse, as Shrinanda Maharaj is explaining to Krishna, who is asking for reasons as to why he is performing this Indra Puja. Shrinanda Maharaj is giving this amazing verse, which resembles to a similar verse which Lord Krishna himself repeats in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where he says, you know, yas shastra vidrim utsirja vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na paramgatim. The one who rejects the shastra and wants to act whimsically will not only get no perfection this life, but also he spoils his next life. Here, after hearing the previous classes where many of the speakers have summarized as to the way Krishna speaks on the kind of different arguments and different lessons, here I thought I could speak something on the direct message that Shrinanda Maharaj is giving here. As Nanda Maharaj is saying that Savai napnoti shobhanam, he shall not get any auspiciousness in life. Similarly, whenever a devotee takes up Hare Krishna, when a practitioner takes up to Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness is mentioned as all auspicious. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his beautiful treatise, Shri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he mentions very elaborately as to what is Krishna consciousness as auspicious to the world. He mentions very nicely and in detail. Actually, when in the beginning years, when I read this, when I approached this scripture of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it was very interesting to see that appealing to logic and appealing to reasoning, Sri Rupa Goswami has presented the details of the Bhakti Shastras and the meanings according to the evidences and statements of Shastra. You know, by that we understand how learned he is, because that time the soft copy of the encyclopedia was not available, that you can search anywhere and whatever you want. But just based on his own intelligence and his reading and his absorption of the scripture, he has extracted so many evidences and so many statements of the Shastras proving each and every point as valid, and by that giving us much more faith into what, as Rupanugas will definitely have faith on what Rupa Goswami is saying. But by giving that definitive statement from the Shastra, he is all the more affirming that how one should, that not only a devotee should believe in this, but any other scholar who will approach this scripture will be able to actually understand based on, it is not my words, but words spoken by different great authorities. So as he explains auspiciousness, he mentions, he calls as the all auspiciousness of bhakti as shubhada. He says, shubhani preenam sarva jagatam anuraktata sadguna sukham ityadini akhyatani manishibhi. He's saying that the wise, the wise scholars of past have stated what is shubha, how you would call something auspicious. Preenana means one who is thinking about welfare of others. By accepting that the welfare activity of the whole world is performed, affection for others is performed or comes to truth. Second is sarva jagatam anuraktata. Anuraktata is attraction. The whole world is attracted. When something becomes auspicious, it becomes attractive to others. Anuraktata. And then sadgunaha. All the good qualities, they appear. They automatically appear. And iti adini. And many other things appear. Then he also furthermore explains what is this etc. that appear in the body of a devotee. So the wise explain. And after explaining this, that wise say that what is meaning of auspiciousness? First is welfare for the entire society, the whole world, where you have affection for the whole world. Second is anuraktata, attractiveness or beloved to all. And third is sadguna, where all the qualities of demigod develop, and sukham, where he is happy. Now what are all these qualities and where are these mentioned? So first evidence given by Rupa Goswami is from Pradna Puran, where the verse mentions that how when a devotee accepts the Krishna consciousness, he not only is attracted to the whole world for doing the welfare, at the same time he becomes attractive to the whole world. An example Srila Prabhupada gives in the Nectar of Devotion is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he travels in the Jharikhanda forest. As he is performing Harinam Sankirtan through this Jharikhanda forest, not only the entire atmosphere becomes jubilant, but also even the verse in the Padma Puran mentions, Jantavas Tatra Jagamaha Sthavara Api. Even the living entities as animals, as well as the plants and the creepers, they get attracted. So here, Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Devotion, is explaining the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to when he traveled in the Jharikhanda forest, because of his touch, even the tigers, deers, elephants, and each and every living entity in the whole forest started becoming Krishna conscious and started chanting in ecstasy. Furthermore, when we are talking about sadgunaha, Rupa Goswami gives example from the fifth canto, the famous verse where it is stated as to what is the effect of accepting Krishna consciousness. Yasyastir bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarveir gunair tatra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathe dhavato nasati bahi. Very, very interesting, I read the translation of this verse in the Bhagavatam, where it mentions that all the demigod qualities enter into the being of that person who is following yasyastir bhakti bhagavati akinchana. In an akinchan vritti, without duplicity and taking full surrender of the Lord, when somebody follows a devotional service, all demigod qualities enter into him. And anybody who has all the good qualities, but if he is harav abhakta, if he is not the devotee of Lord Krishna, then what is the use of his so-called qualities? Because he will be only hovering on the mental plane. Here, the translation in the Srimad Bhagavatam says that, but in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada mentions very amazingly that the qualities of a bhakta, of qualities of the demigods, they appear in the devotee, and the demigods won't mind coming and living with him. Because it is, you know, as demigods want to come and live with him, means he has got good qualities. Otherwise, demigods won't come and live with him. And furthermore, Jiva Goswami explains that what is the extra quality that comes into being when somebody becomes devotee, that he is able to control all the living entities and create auspiciousness in them. Jiva Goswami is saying that not only is able to control other beings, but also able to control Krishna. That is the extra quality of bhakti. And that's why it is called all auspicious. Because it is not only creating auspiciousness, but is also creating others who can create auspiciousness. And the third is sukham. The fourth is sukham, where he is happy. So the three kind of happiness that are mentioned. Sukham vaisheshikam brahman aishwaryam cheti tat trividha. Where there are three kind of happiness. One happiness is the happiness from vishaya or material happiness. Second is the happiness of merging into the brahman effulgence. And third is aishwaram, that is from Swayam Ishwara, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishwara. And for that, the evidences given are from Tantra, where Lord Shiva is speaking to Sati and is telling her that those who worship Govinda, they not only gather or not only manifest such astounding mystic perfections, but also they have the Brahmananda, and above that is the Paramananda of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in Nectar of Devotion, he explains in detail all the siddhis and how a devotee does not aspire for such siddhis, and ultimately what he is ultimately concerned is to serve the Supreme Lord, because that happiness that is achieved by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead is much more than the happiness acquired from mystic perfections and merging into impersonal Brahman. Next, he gives example from the Hari Bhakti Shuddhodaya, where Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to Narasimha Dev and fervently praying that what I need is just firm devotion unto you, nothing else. And then he's saying, just by firm devotion, the Bhakti Lata has such amazing qualities that the byproducts are that you get mystic perfections, that you get material happiness, you'll get impersonal happiness, and the best happiness is serving, the bliss of serving you. So here, Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, he says that how, by giving this example, Rupa Goswami is highlighting the point that after getting the bliss of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even the bliss of impersonal liberation becomes very insignificant. Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, he mentions in Nectar of Devotion that the devotees care a fig for the Brahmananda as compared to the Paramananda that they get after serving Lord Krishna. And the example that Srila Prabhupada is giving is of Sridhar Kolavicha. That after he was so much satisfied in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although not getting much earnings, but whatever earning is to get, the 50% was spent in serving Mother Ganga. And when the Mahaprakash Lila happened, where Lord Chaitanya revealed his magnificent form and asked Sridhar Kolavicha to ask a boon, he did not ask for anything else but where he can serve, and beautifully he can visualize the beautiful form of Nimai coming and arguing with him. Furthermore, when we are, as we have discussed about Krishna consciousness being all auspicious, when somebody rejects this life of Krishna consciousness, the whole life becomes inauspicious, because after getting the amazing qualities, Srila Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion that when somebody takes up to Krishna consciousness, although he might not have that academic stature or he might not be academically successful, but what the whole world cannot do, that a devotee can accomplish, and that is, he can easily give up the vices, the bad habits, because of his higher taste in Krishna consciousness. The whole world, even if they reached the epitome of academical success, but until unless that element of Krishna consciousness is not adapted in life, nobody will become supremely auspicious until unless they are able to give up all bad habits. And just as we see, there are examples in Shastras where people, where demons have not only given up the path of Krishna consciousness or rejected the path of Krishna consciousness, but have vehemently opposed anybody who is following the path of Krishna consciousness, and not only opposed the devotees, but also waged a war against the Supreme Lord. Here, in the Shastras, we see the examples of the six anarthas, that the lust being represented by Ravana, anger represented by Hiranyaksha, greed represented by Hiranyakashipu, and pride represented by Dantavakra, and envy, the enmity, represented by Shishupal, and illusion by Kumbhakarna. In all these pastimes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has sent forth his own representatives to show that what will happen when somebody will reject Krishna and reject Krishna consciousness. When a particular anartha overtakes that person, and what happens to their end result, how inauspicious death, how inauspicious end they had to meet. Also, when before reading this verse, I was just going through the whole chapter, and as we see the beautiful way in which Krishna is very nicely convincing Nanda Maharaj in such a sweet way, that you know, it just reminded me of that verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita where we talk about Anudvega Karam Vakyam Satyam Prehitam Chayat Swadhyaya Abhisanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. So not only the Lord is saying that you perform this austerity of speech where you speak nicely and you speak according to Shastra, but he himself is practicing it by speaking such sweet words. You know, as Vallabhacharya speaks in his Madhurashtakam, where he is saying, you know, Vachanam Madhuram Charitam Madhuram Vasanam Madhuram Valitam Madhuram Chalitam Madhuram Bhramitam Madhuram Madhuradipate Rakhilam Madhuram. He is saying that his words are sweet, his character is sweet, his dress is sweet, his belly folds are sweet, his walking is sweet, his wandering is sweet, everything is sweet about the emperor of sweetness. The way he is speaking is so sweet that, you know, in a Nectar of Devotion, as Rupa Goswami is elucidating the qualities of Shri Krishna in the 10th quality, where he is calling Lord Krishna as Vavadhuk, you know, fluent. When he is speaking, you know, Prabhupada gives, what is meaning of fluent? One who speaks with meaningful words and with all politeness and good qualities. When he is able to convince others with such politeness, you know, when while arguing, if one is very polite, at the same time very firm on his philosophy, it just melts others' heart. So here, when Krishna is speaking very sweetly to Nanda Maharaj, you know, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning as to what do you mean by fluent. And the fluency or eloquence in one's speech has two qualities. One is, should be pleasing to the ear, that is, Shruti Preshthoktir. Shruti Preshthoktir. It's very, very pleasing to the ears. As somebody is speaking, you know, the words are very sweet. And second is, Akhilavag Gunanvitavag. That is, the words have to be with cleverful meanings. And furthermore, he gives explanation, saying that he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, or he quotes that when a gopi, one who was the wife of one of the gopas, who was a singer of different poetries for Nanda Maharaj, you know, the community of gopas who was very expert in singing, so his wife, when she notices Krishna speaking to Nanda Maharaj in beautiful ways, she says, Aslishta komalapada vali manjulena pratyaksharaksharada amanda sudharasena sakhya samasta janakarna rasayanena naharikasaridayam haribhashitena. Oh friends, whose heart will not be stolen by the words of Krishna, sweet with clear soft pronunciation, an elixir of intense nectar in the placement of each syllable, a medicine giving life to the ears of all people by its sweet intonations. The gopi is saying, the beautiful words of Krishna are aslishta, komala, and manjula. Aslishta is clear, komala is soft, manjula is sweet in hearing. So Jiva Goswami is saying that by this first word, first line of the verse, the sweetness of diction of Krishna's speech is clarified. Then pratyaksharak sharada amanda sudharasena, the rachana or the arrangement of syllables is done in such a sweet way that it appears that he has poured nectar in each and every word, so that when it is spoken, it just gives amazing sweetness to the ears. And that is sweetness of the composition. Third line, Jiva Goswami is saying that it represents sweetness of the tone of Krishna. The tone is so sweet that samasta jana karana rasayanena. There is so much bitterness in this world that somebody, if just speaks sweet words, one is able to give at least a ear to him. Nobody likes harsh words. And here, Krishna is endowed with such sweet words that they are like rasayana, medicine, to the ears of the gopas. Nahari kasirdayam haribhashidena. Who is that person who will not get captivated? The second meaning to eloquence, which is clever meaning or full of good qualities, skillful in showing so many different meanings. So for that, Srila Rupa Goswami is quoting a verse spoken by Uddhava. Uddhava is considered to be the most knowledgeable, so much so that he was sent by Lord Krishna to convince the gopis, to give them knowledge as to how they should not be lamenting in separation. But that same person, Uddhava, is glorifying Lord Krishna's speech, where he is saying that his speech is so skillful that Prativadi Chit Pravritti Patur. That Prativadi, Prativadi is the opponent. If the opponent comes and speaks to Krishna, and he speaks in such a way, in such skillful way, that Chit Pravritti, that his heart is transformed when he speaks Krishna's eloquent words. Jagat ek samshaya vimardakari. That is, when he speaks, all the doubts that exist in the universe, they vanquish. So the first line Jiva Goswami is saying is the skill of his skill of satisfying others. And the second line is his skill of logic, where he is able to vanquish and satisfy everybody's doubts. And the third line is very interesting, where he is talking that Krishna's words are Pramita Akshara Adya. Very, very authoritative. Pramita Akshara. Where he speaks in very, very economical way. Measured words. Not wasting words, but very measured words. But at the same time, very, very authoritative. Giving full authority, giving full meaning, at the same time very, very convincing. So Jiva Goswami is saying, this is the skill of speaking the truth, speaking the absolute truth. And the last line is, Harivag Iyam Mama Dhinoti Dhiyaha, where he is saying, my mind, my dhiyaha, my intelligence, which is, you know, so much, you know, enriched with Shastra, Lord Krishna, by his beautiful speech, is able to fully satiate me. And I don't have to go anywhere else, but by listening to his words, I'm fully satiated, I'm fully satisfied. So Jiva Goswami is saying that this particular line is his skill of creativity and imagination, by which he is able to even satisfy the greatest of the jnanis. So after seeing the beautiful way in which Krishna can speak, we also have his devotees and his expansions and their speech, you know, the way they speak also, you know, following in the footsteps of their master, where we hear about Prahlad Maharaj as he is speaking to his father, the king of the demons. And nowhere in the seventh canto we see that when he is speaking to Hiranyakashipu, he is disrespectful. Very respectfully, but at the same time, uncompromising on the philosophy. Tat sadhumanne asurvarya deina. He's calling him asuryavara, you know, giving him respect, but at the same time, clarifying what he should do, what he should not do. In the instance of Bali Maharaj, where Shukaracharya is saying that how you should not give charity to Vaman Dev, Bali Maharaj, he agrees. He says, I agree to you. Whatever you're saying is right. But please understand, I have given my word to this Brahmana. And he gives number of reasons as to why he should give charity. But that also is done in such amazing respect and amazing awe that, you know, even Shukracharya, in a proper frame of mind, if anybody reads that arguments, one will say, yeah, it's very convincing that what he's saying is truth. But rather rebuking Shukracharya on the base of Shastra, keeping the respect to the spiritual master, he's saying, you know, I understand, I agree to you, but I have my own reasons as to why I should do this. Then, in the instance of Prithu Maharaj, when he's beginning his speech to his, you know, the praja, before that, his quality of speech are mentioned. Where his speech is called as చారు చిత్ర పదం లక్షణం. చారు, వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ స్పీచ్. చిత్ర పదం, ఇట్ హ్యాస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫ్లవరీ మీనింగ్స్. స్లక్షణం, వెరీ క్లియర్ డిక్షన్. మృష్టం, వెరీ వెరీ గ్రేట్ అండ్ మెగ్నానిమస్. గూఢం, వెరీ వెరీ మీనింగ్ఫుల్. అవిక్లవం, అన్అంబిగ్యుయస్, నాట్ వేగ్. ఇన్ స్పోకన్ ఫార్ సర్వేషాం ఉపకారార్థం అండ్ ఫార్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ ద జనరల్ పీబ్లిక్ తదా అనువద్దన్ ఇవ. దెన్ ఈ స్టార్టెడ్ స్పీకింగ్. సో హియర్ వి కెన్ సీ ఇట్స్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ చిత్ర పదం, ఫ్లవరీ. వేర్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత వెన్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ దట్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ వేద ఆర్ సో ఫ్లవరీ, వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్. బట్ హియర్ వి సీ ప్రతు మహారాజ్ వర్డ్స్ ఆర్ చిత్ర పదం, మెటఫారికల్. బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఎనలాజీస్ ఆర్ దేర్ బట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ దే ఆర్ అవిక్లవం, దే ఆర్ నాట్ వేగ్, అన్అంబిగ్యుయస్. సో సచ్ ఇస్ ద స్పీచ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రతు మహారాజ్ యాజ్ హీస్ బిగినింగ్ టు స్పీక్ టు హిస్ జనరల్ పబ్లిక్ అండ్ గివింగ్ దెమ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్. సో హియర్ ఆఫ్టర్ సీయింగ్ ద వే కృష్ణ ఇస్ స్పీకింగ్, హీ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఎగ్జాంప్లిఫైయింగ్ దట్ హౌ ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు పోజ్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్స్, ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు బి పోజ్డ్ విత్ ప్రాపర్ సబ్మిషన్ అండ్ ప్రాపర్ రెస్పెక్ట్. సో తద్విద్ధి ప్రణిపాతైన పరిప్రశ్నైన సేవయ. సో హియర్ హీ సర్వింగ్ నంద మహారాజ్ బట్ అట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ ఇఫ్ యూ వన్ ఆఫ్టర్ అనదర్ ఇఫ్ యూ రీడ్ దోస్ వర్సెస్ అండ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సో స్వీట్ ఇన్ హియరింగ్ దట్ వే కృష్ణ ఇస్ స్పీకింగ్ దోస్ వర్సెస్. యు నో ద హార్ట్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ క్యాప్టివేటెడ్ యాజ్ టు ద వే దట్ ఆల్దో హీ హ్యాస్ ఆల్ ద లాజిక్ హీల్ గివ్ ఫర్దర్ మోర్ బట్ ద వే హీ ఈస్ అప్రోచింగ్ ద మూడ్ ఆఫ్ అప్రోచ్ ద పాత్ హీ హెస్ టేకన్ టు ఆస్క్ క్వశ్చన్స్ is very much to be absorbed. And then furthermore, after discussing about the auspiciousness of Krishna consciousness and about the beautiful way in which Krishna speaks in the verse, as Nanda Maharaj is explaining, as one should not reject the traditional values and the religious path which comes, the religious principles which comes according to the sound tradition or according to parampara, just based on lust, enmity, fear and greed. Now what actually that is indicated is that one who knows these traditions should not, although after knowing, reject them just because he is not able to overcome lust, enmity, fear and greed. One who rejects Krishna consciousness, one is fortunate if one gets Krishna consciousness, but the misfortune is that after accepting Krishna consciousness, one is rejecting Krishna consciousness. And that rejection is mainly because of not able to control the vices, and that are the lust, envy, greed. And so here Nanda Maharaj is telling us that how the sound traditions, the traditions and rituals are so important, that once you reject them whimsically. So here when we read in Nectar of Instruction where Srila Rupa Goswami is talking about Niyamagraha and Niyamagraha. You know, so the sadhaka's life is actually many times found to be like a pendulum where it goes from Niyamagraha to Niyamagraha. But the right balance of where you don't reject. Many times, just as you know, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu last week spoke that how the authority has to be mature enough as to when to pressurize, when not to pressurize their authority. Similarly, a devotee has to be introspective and intelligent enough as to see where to pressurize those rules on oneself and where to be lenient. Because what is the most important is anukulasya sankalpo and pratikulasya varjanam. That we accept whatever is favorable for our Krishna consciousness and reject what is unfavorable for our Krishna consciousness. But a higher perspective to that is when we accept something which is favorable for other Krishna consciousness. Where the instance comes of Bharat Maharaj, where he is performing different sacrifices to demigods. And there, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that although he is performing that sacrifice or performing the ritual to the particular demigod, he is doing it out of proper consciousness, understanding that I am offering this to the hand of the Supreme Lord. Taking that whole ritual into a totality perspective, keeping Krishna as supreme. And if one can do that, then that his consciousness can purify that particular ritual. But the same Bharat Maharaj, as he was doing rituals, when he is born as Jada Bharat in the family of Brahmanas which come from the lineage of Angiri Rishi, he rejected that association. Why? Because the same karma kanda he did as a king, he didn't want to do it again. Why? Because as a king, he was following pure devotional service. So it was not necessary for him to do that. But because the general populace who are not on that level, because the king is not doing, they might not follow. Yajad acharati sreshtas. So to set an example, Bharat Maharaj had to do. But as Jad Bharat, he didn't want to again fall into that, because here he was only concerned about his own pure devotional service. So he was not doing those rituals based on the karma kanda that his family members were following. Now many times, as explained in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, when is bhakti covered by karma or jnana? The one perspective too is that when the rituals followed by a tradition, they are considered to be powerful in themselves. Where, without following them, if somebody thinks that the pure devotional service of mine cannot be fulfilled. Where one thinks that my pure devotional service is dependent on this ritual or this tradition, then that activity is considered to be covered by jnana or karma. But if one's consciousness is clear, even though because of certain circumstances he has to undergo those activities, that activity remains pure. So there are certain reasons as to why one might have to take up to traditional values and traditional rituals. The first one is because of the position of leadership. Many times, just as Bharat Maharaj did, many times, so that others and their followers also follow that. You know, we have this famous story of Lord Shiva, that when he appeared with a tilak and Vaishnav attire, he was requested not to do that because his followers also start following that, although they are not on his level. And then they might have to follow some rituals so that to avoid criticism of general public. You know, we know of so many our devotee friends. You know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, Lord Narasimha Dev, he explains or he tells Prahlad Maharaj that your father is liberated, please make sure you do the Shraddha ceremony. Why? Because you will be an example for the other Asura race also. In that purport, Prabhupada begins of how one devotee is not obligated to do anything. Once, you know, he performs devotional service, all the obligations are taken care. But then Prabhupada says, because somebody is in leadership position, yad yad acharati sreshtas, everybody is seeing. Because we are staying in society, the society sees. We have to follow the general public. We have to see what they consider to be the topmost, you know, in the installation of Radha Govinda at Tirupati. The whole installation was done according to the rituals of Sri Sampradaya. But there, the basic point was, the main is the holy name. But because to have acceptance in the general public, we have to arrange for the general the normal rituals that are accepted by the, you know, inhabitants there. So here, although Narasimhadev is saying, but he is saying to Prahlad Maharaj, why? Your father is liberated. But still, you follow the Shraddha ceremony. Why? Because you will be an example for the other Asura race. You know, Vishwanathaswami Thakur, he gives an example how a particular race of Asura, they did the Shraddha Patra after the king of their Asuras, I forget the name, he died or he was killed. His followers performed the last rites. So how, in a leadership position, to avoid criticism, you know, this devotee friend, when his relative passed away, although being a Gaudiya Vaishnava, he stayed back at home and underwent all the karmakanda rituals just so that the whole community of his becomes favorable. And after the whole ceremony had taken place, the priest who was doing the ritual, he spoke to this person and said, you know, I thought, you know, you Hare Krishnas, you know, you're not going to do this. You know, the last thing that you will do is the last rites for the parents. But by doing that properly and actually following the karmakanda rituals, although this devotee was clear in his consciousness, but so that his community becomes favorable. And they understand that, you know, they are not just a bunch of fanatic people, but those who pay respect to the normal outside karmakanda rituals also. And now, although he understood that they are of no value, already whatever his devotional service is there, that will actually benefit the relative. But still, he underwent so that he can avoid criticism. Then second is to set, third is to set example. And although externally performing it, but internally, one is faithful to Krishna. So I'll just summarize. In first we began with how Krishna consciousness is all auspicious, and then how Krishna's sweet speech can captivate anybody because of its sweet qualities, and then how rituals and traditions are also important if one is situated in his Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. As we asked, the time is up. Thank you very much.